Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. We have a topic today that is no doubt controversial, and it is something that... Some of you are sitting there saying, wait a minute, what are you talking about? The Bible doesn't say anything about that. Anyway, we're going to be talking about recreational drug use, as it's mentioned by those gentlemen. Yeah. And so to be here with me is the top recreational man.
With all experience in this topic.
He recreates all the time with his sons. Anyway, it has nothing to do with recreational drug use. It has everything to do with just being a dad. And anyway, so CJ in the studio with me. Good to have you.
Good. Thank you. Glad to be here. Ready to get going on this.
Oh, man. Can you take your jacket off? It is almost.
It is not. It's pretty, 73 degrees. I guess it's warmer than what it usually is. Usually it's like 64 degrees in here, but maybe little sissy girl.
You should eat some more Dairy Queen burgers or something like that. Maybe get.
I do eat those.
You do. Made you hungry, didn't it?
It does.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we have that's our topic, and we're going to be talking about it here momentarily. But we always like to kind of kick things off with some encouragement for you because that's just what we do. Because that's
encouragement's always good.
Yes,
always.
So I don't know if you have anything with encouragement because you brought the recreational stuff.
Some people might think that's encouraging.
Yeah, they might. But is there anything else that you might bring to mind?
Yes, I'm thinking. I use the analogy of a fuel tank with the car that even if there's a little bit of a foreign substance in there, once it hits the engine. The engine is going to run real poorly. And so the same thing is with us is if we still have some foreign substance in us and we haven't let God completely fill us up with his Holy Spirit, we're not going to run the way we should. We're going to be holding back. And so we're going to grow weary. We're going to faint. We're going to struggle a lot more in our walk when we still want to keep a little bit back from God, when we don't want to give everything to him so that he can fill our whole tank up with just him and not a little bit of foreign substance, you know, not a little bit of selfishness. So if we don't allow that, the engine's not going to run very well the way it should anyways, and so it's going to run poorly. And so the same thing is with our walk. Unless we, by the grace of God, are able to give everything up to him, we're going to have rougher road, spiritual walk ahead of us. So the encouragement is to really get rid of everything. And I think it has a lot to do with what we're talking about today, you know, recreation, with the things that you enjoy, things that you don't think affect your relationship with others or with God. It's I think we really need to always continually look at ourselves and see what we need to purge from ourselves so that our walk with God can run more smoothly, in a sense.
Yeah, but CJ, can I just take a vacation from taking a look at me all the time? I just want to go and enjoy life, you know?
vacation, I like that, from looking that, you know? At me.
From looking
I like
at me,
to look
yes.
out the window.
I mean, can we go somewhere else to do, you know,
besides me?
Yeah, you know? And but no, I love the analogy because they're so true. I mean, you know, you put a little something that is
it doesn't
not
take
right
much
in
either.
Yeah. You put a little water in that gas tank, just a little bit with your fuel. Somewhere along the line, you're going to end up sputtering and sitting there going, "What's going on here?"
Even on a brand new car, it's not.
Oh yeah, and it, you know, because everything is so fine tuned as we are.
Yeah,
I mean, really, we're in not only in the flesh, or I mean, we're so sensitive. And
yeah, spiritually, mentally, emotionally.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
And we need to be able to know that when something's not right. Now, think about it. When you're driving down the road real smooth, and all of a sudden you feel a little, you know, in the power. All
yeah.
It goes away just for a moment. Just a little, and you just, oh, what was that?
Yeah, your heart kind of jumps
up. You start thinking, oh, man, is it the engine? Is it the transmission?
Yeah.
Did I just run over something? Or what?
Yeah.
What could
well, you start examining it. Is
yeah.
What yeah. So the same
and
thing
you start
as we
thinking.
Have to
so
do.
So we do
yeah.
the same thing. But
we should do.
And if
yeah.
we know what is causing that, okay, sometimes we try to avoid. Oh, no, everyone else says, what was that?
Nothing. I didn't see any
there's
feeler
here
anything. Here.
Yeah, no, I think you're just, I think you're mistaken. Roll the window down, you know, you probably need some fresh air or something. You know, the point being is that is, I love that analogy because it's, it just fits for
it
us
does.
As human beings,
it does.
You know.
It does.
Sitting there going, okay, the more that I have more of him and less of me, the better off I would be.
Well, we have to empty out our cup so we can get fully filled up with God. And, you know, in a sense that God doesn't want to mix himself with us. We're not good. So he wants to empty us. And sometimes when we're emptied, it's painful and it hurts. And getting rid of old habits is, you know, sometimes as hard as cutting off a limb sometimes. But, you know, God wants us to be completely empty so that he can fill us up with himself.
It's kind of like, you know, your mom growing up or your grandmother, you don't do it nowadays because of the type of clothes that we have. They used to bleach our clothes, you know.
Yeah, my grandma used to do that all the
okay.
time. Yeah.
And you sit there and you
I
go, and you know,
it.
The bleach you put on anything that's color is going to change it, you know. And that all of a sudden that one color turns to kind of like a pink stripe. What is up with that? You know, no, I'm not wearing that. But the fact is that bleach is kind of made everything clean.
Yeah.
And it was already white and it's tainted a little bit. It's now going to be white.
Yeah.
And
Amen.
In
Amen.
A sense. So anyway.
We'll go right into the topic because a lot of us, I think we do hold a little bit back, you know, especially when it comes to the doctor issue of having it prescribed in a sense. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about this thing called recreational drugs. Okay?
Are you pulling up a definition of
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm pulling up something here on Wikipedia because I thought it was kind of funny. Not funny, but it's what they say. And you said, why do they have a definition for that? It's just the, and I said, well, because there needs to be a definition.
Oh, yes, for, yeah. Well, right. Why don't they just call it what it is? Just, yeah, but yeah.
Well, they are calling it what it is.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm going to read here. Okay, so you just listen in and just try to keep the lips together before I'll point at you. Recreational drug use is the use of a drug, legal, controlled, or illegal, with the primary intention to alter the state of consciousness through alteration of the central nervous system. Now, there was a time in my life I said, yes, let's get that done. State of consciousness. Let's change that. Let's alter it. I just want to make it something different than what it is. I don't want to feel what I'm feeling. I don't want to see what I see. I don't want to know anything. I just want to just be in the zone.
In the blind,
right? Yeah.
In a sense, yeah.
In order to, of course, in order to create positive emotions and feelings. The popular concept of this phenomenon puts it closer to a social behavior that many places around the world would tolerate rather than to serious medical conditions such as self-medication. Anyway, it talks about it being associated with, you know, by many other things. Anyway,
well, I think what it comes down to, I think
the use of it.
I think recreational for one. Oh, for one, I think people will justify. Here in Washington State, marijuana is now legal, so now people are justified in a sense by using that now.
It's one of there's a Colorado is legal too.
There's a few of them. So. In the United States, but in many other countries, punishments are actually much harsher for drug use than they are in the United States. So
it increases the vacation travelers that come to our state. You know? We're going to Washington State for a month.
Maybe longer.
Yeah,
that depends on how much of it we smoke away.
Yeah.
Anyways, so what it comes down to, I think, is because I don't think in the Christian circle is if it's illegal, I don't think there's so much of a debate whereas if it's permissible by the law,
yes.
Then I think that's where it becomes conflictual, if that's a word, within the Christian realm, because we justify it with, oh, it's okay by the law, or the doctor said it's okay, or it doesn't really do too much on my mind, my mental capacity. So I think if it's against the law, if we suffer jail time from it, I think it's pretty clear cut in the Christian realm that it's not to be done. But I think we come in the problem where I think we need to talk about is when the world has justified it in a sense.
And that's part of what we live in, is the world as it is today, because it's constantly luring us into coming off track of seeking God and living the way that he wants us to live. Now, the only way we get there is because there's a time in our life where we believe that we needed this change. There was something that took place in our lives that we needed this change, or something that was attractive to it, of seeking Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It might have been that you were grown up that way, and it was, you know, didn't mean that you were sinless, okay, or sin-free, but you desired that because you saw some good things from it, mm-hmm. okay? On the other hand, you could have been one of those who actually lived life the way that you thought you wanted to live it.
Suffer the consequences.
And you suffer, some of those consequences that were not very good. They got you to a place what some people would call the bottom, or, you know, down at the very end of your rope, so to speak. And what ends up taking place is that you reached out and God showed up, okay? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you heard things that differently, and all of a sudden your life changed, okay? Now, that doesn't mean just because we accepted God as not only my Savior, but maybe even as Lord for a period of time, that doesn't mean that temptation stopped.
No, in fact, it'll more likely increase.
Increase, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And it just does, because we've been just inundated with a lifestyle of, it's all about me. Well, what can you get?
When we're not walking with God, when we're a child of the devil doesn't have to do anything to keep us on his team. He has to increase the temptation much more when we become a child of God and we're now on his team. He's trying to get us back. He has to do a lot more to get us back than it would to keep someone. So temptation will always increase when you start to walk with God. And so I think this is where the justification comes in, because it goes back to the encouragement a little bit. We try to hold a little back. We try to justify it a little bit. Let me give example for myself. So I got a really bad back. It's pretty much broken for the most part.
This is a 20-something year old, or 30-something
30,
year old.
Yeah, 30 this year.
Yeah.
And
but anyway, who walks around like he's 90.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, it's pretty bad, and I've dropped 40 pounds in the last 3 years, give or take, you know, a lot of it just because I can't do too much anymore.
And was it so much because of an accident necessarily? It was over a period of time of attempting to make yourself be better physically.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, I mean,
this is not from an accident. Right?
Well, it originally, from wrestling high school, and then I got into heavy lifting, and then I heard it, and then I wanted to keep lifting, and so then I started doing steroids, and then you don't feel the pain, and then you just keep going.
Oh, you did them recreationally.
Yes. It was to benefit. It was to make a better temple, right? That's I had to make a perfect temple. That's
at the time. I don't think you were thinking about temple.
No, I wasn't.
You were thinking about
Okay. Anyways, so right now I pretty much got like a broken back, and so my doctor, he actually told me, he's like, man, CJ, he's like, I will give you anything that you want. He's like, I can take away your pain for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're talking Oxycontin, I mean, anything. I don't need that. I was like, I still got to be able to, I'm involved with the ministry at the rest home. So you know, and all that stuff. And so what it comes down to is, am I justified to sit here and take prescription drugs? In a sense, in the worldly sense, I am justified because a doctor, I could do it in a sense. Now, the problem is that when I take that, so let me back up a little bit. One thing I struggle with is I think it's the Lord keeps me humble with it. He'll allow me to be put into a pit of doubt sometimes. And so it's one thing that I struggle with off and on. It just comes and goes. And it's just one of the things that the Lord's given me to keep me humble, I think. And when I do have I went to work the other day after I had the shot in my spine. And I did take a Percocet. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when I do take that, I have no doubt. I have no anxiety, no anything at all. Nothing ever bothers me when I'm on it. Okay. Now that is a big sign of to worry about when that happens. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that, an example, is one reason why I would rather be in pain than to take the medicine. And the reason being is because if I don't allow God to teach me to grow, to be able to get through deep waters without extra help, then I'm not going to be able to keep going further on in the journey. Yeah. So it's like someone crossing, if you got two people crossing a river, and one is going in boots and heavy jeans, and they have to swim across, and you have another person in scuba gear, in a sense, and flippers, they're going to get across a lot easier than the person in boots and everything, okay? But as they continue on their journey, if they come across a marsh or something, okay, that person that had to get through the river, he's going to be a lot stronger and have much more endurance than the other person did, and he'll be able to continue on through the journey where the other person has to stop because he can't continue on. And so the same thing is with me. Am I justified in doing it in a worldly sense? Yeah, but it holds me back from our close relationship with God. So that's where, you know, in that aspect, we tend to justify, oh, it's okay, it's this, it's that, it doesn't hurt anyone, I only take it once in a while. And I do, I'm not going to lie, I do take it once in a while when it gets to the point I can't, but I'd rather be in a lot of pain than to not be being, than not be able to let God teach me what he needs to teach me, what it comes down to.
Right. Well, what it does is it takes you, it alters our state of consciousness.
It does.
That's what it is talking about before. And, you know, one of the things is that, yes, do we try to attempt to control these type of things? Always have. We always have tried to take some type of control. I try to control a recreational drug that I think is the biggest recreational drug around, and that's alcohol.
Alcohol.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was my drug of choice, so to speak. All right. And one, it was because it was a lot easier to get it than anything else.
I think it's much more socially acceptable, too.
Of course it is. Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, even if you're underage, it can be, you know, easily
attained.
All you have to do, I used to pay the homeless guy $10 to go in there and buy me a case of beer, you know. And, you know, okay, you know, and, you know, whatever.
It doesn't take
and,
much.
And my point being is that back in, no matter what it is, we end up wanting to have a good time with our friends. We want to be able to feel like we're part of something, in a sense, especially when you're doing it with others. Because you kind of, it's like the blind leading the blind, so to speak. Everyone says, I'm doing it for you. No, I'm doing it for you. And I want to be accepted by you. Yes, and whatever. But my point is that somewhere along the line, you realize that there's something here that seems to be pretty, has some power to it. The power to alter our mind. In other words, all of a sudden not have to think about certain things that maybe I don't want to be thinking about all the time. Mm. Or situations, you know, when if I'm sad, I want this because, part of me, I want to feel sadder sometimes.
Or that, yeah.
Thinking that in a sense that this is going to get me out of the way or get me out of it. And but in either case, if I'm happy, sometimes I want to take it so that I'm happier. You know,
when it comes down to, we just try to find any way
to justify it, and to
reason with it and to do anything that we can to allow us to not think about it so we can feel good about it. So we don't have the consciousness on it.
Now think about it. I mean, most guys who have been old enough to drink had one time, you remember having a drink, and if you weren't a dancer, if you didn't like dancing, okay, in high school or something like that or whatever, you have a drink or two, and all of a sudden you become a Casanova, man. You're out there, you're just dancing with the stars.
You
have all this courage that you didn't have before, but
liquid courage.
It's just a false courage. Okay?
Amen.
But the fact is that it alters our mind and gets us thinking on certain things, and that's where I sit there and I go, man, this has got to be a good thing, isn't it? This has got to be a good thing. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about this good thing. How good is it? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
Sometimes you want something permanent to remember a special event, such as a groundbreaking for a new business or community park, or a monument to remember the life of a loved one. Whether it's a bench marker, bronze memorial, or a traditional stone monument, you'll find markers at the most affordable prices through Cascade Monuments. They even have special flag case memorials and keepsake urns. Shop at your convenience online by going to cascademonuments.net. Cascade Monuments, for an affordable, fitting tribute to the special places, events, and people in your life.
If you want to know how far my love can go, just how deep, just how wide. If you want to see how much you mean to me, look at my hands, look at my side. If you could count the times and say you are forgiven, it's more than the drops in the ocean.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, CJ and Raul, talking about recreational drug use. No, we're not advocating it. We're actually just talking about it because so often we in this world today, we find ourselves like ourselves here in Washington State, where last year they passed the use of recreational marijuana. Mm,
yeah, now we're faced with it.
And now it's looking at, you know, what it just grows from there. It's like anything else. And a lot of people say, hey, man, this is great because I can now use it for any means. And we're not here to create controversy about whether take a certain stand on it. But because ethically and morally, as followers of Jesus, we need to really take an honest look at what it is that we're doing. Now, mind you, yes, everyone's – and I'll get either emails or phone calls or whatever about this sort of thing, and that's all right. But here's the deal. Yes, alcohol is legal, but is it beneficial? Okay.
Amen.
Many of us, and I'll say that in a general sense, many of us, because I included, could never ever drink
just one.
Yeah, or I want to say
casually.
Mm-hmm. Or as I used to say, a normal
just a drink
drinker. Yeah. When I found that all of a sudden this alcohol and in many times other uses, other medications or illegal drugs that I would take, okay, would get my head away from something else. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to think about something. Again, I was avoiding, and it put me in a different state of mind, which seemed to be much easier to deal with. And
out of sight, out of mind.
And really not caring. But here's the deal: we can laugh. We can look and see the other people who look what it does for them, makes them feel more courageous, makes them feel like they can do certain things, and et cetera, et cetera. We always look at something that this is beneficial. Mm-hmm. This is something that's going to benefit me. But here's the deal. What usually happens is that might for a little bit, maybe once or twice, maybe a few times, but somewhere along the line, it's like anything else. There's a tolerance that ends up your body creates and then all of a sudden you need more, and all of a sudden you need more and more. And then before you know it, you're in a situation going, okay, this is really becoming very different than what I had expected.
What I intended. Yeah. And then you're too embarrassed to say you might have a problem. And then you're like, oh, I could quit anytime I want. It's just, you know, I don't really want to. I have control of it, but right. I just don't want to. Right.
And
now.
I'm not really one of those problems. I remember the very first time that I ended up, somebody had mentioned to me that, you know, you could be alcoholic. And I said, you got to be kidding.
Hmm.
I'm in my early 20s and I didn't look anything like an alcoholic. They looked at me and said, well, what do they look like? I said, like a Skid Row bum. You know, the floppy hat, the raincoat, and they have a bottle of wine in a brown paper bag inside the
laying pocket.
Inside the
park
pocket.
Bench.
Yeah. And I said, I'm not one of those. You know, I had a job. I was responsible and so on and so forth. I look at all the things I do. I have a family and I take care of them.
I think that's the responsible thing is I know one particular person who can do anything and is very responsible. You couldn't even tell he's addicted or on anything. He handles himself like every other, like there's no difference in him. You couldn't tell if you didn't know him. That's just him. But I think what it even more comes to for the Christian is how much it affects your prayer life and also then being deceived. I think that's big. Mm-hmm. You know what I think about when, if I sit there, because I've never had a problem with alcohol, and so once in a while I will have a drink if my wife and I go out, and I will have a drink with the dinner. But you know, as I'm drinking it, if I even remotely start to get a little, I know it. Okay, I know that all of a sudden that if I need to pray or something, that I'm not in the right spirit, I shouldn't be doing that in. And so all of a sudden, conviction hits by the grace of God. And even more so than that is you're not fully aware when you have any kind of substance in your body that alters your brain. And so you can be deceived much easier in a sense. And that doesn't mean that the devil's going to come and show you a different way, like Joseph Smith or anything. That doesn't. But what that does mean is, all of a sudden, maybe you look at your wife or kids, and you think all of a sudden that they disrespected you because you're viewing it differently, because you're not, you know, altogether there in a sense. And so then all of a sudden, you have a big problem in the family because a big argument broke out, and it just continues and it just rolls. And so it's not necessarily, it is about the addiction, but it's more anything that hindrances our walk with God is a problem. And I mean, that's just more than drug. That's anything right. in our life.
Right.
So I think.
Well, the fact is that we end up, no matter what, trying to justify our behavior and what it is that we're doing. And I always have to look at things today. If I have to come up with a reason why I'm doing something, maybe I really need to take a look at what I'm doing. You know, that's probably against, you know, the Holy Spirit that's in me.
Place.
Okay, yeah. That I'm not willing to look at sometimes, because you know, here's the deal. Yes, I know. Jesus created his first miracle with changing water to wine. So okay, you know, so there's got to be something okay with that. Listen, I'm not saying whether you should drink or not drink, but here's the deal. I believe that if it impedes my relationship with the Lord,
okay,
where I'm not able, as you had talked about already at the start of your little story here, about whether or not I can think clearly enough to be able to accept the fact that he is here with me,
amen.
Okay, and that I would be a reflection of Jesus with everyone else around me. Because, see, that's really what it comes down to. Am I reflecting Jesus Christ, or am I reflecting something that acts like Jesus sometimes, but then on recreational time, I am recreationally looking like something else, okay? Huh. So the fact is that the answer is always within us, because he is us. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
There are a lot of frustrations in any given day, and you can't do much about most of them. But one frustration you can eliminate is unreliable or sluggish internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. They would love to help you gain reliable, super quick internet service for your home or business. Get a free estimate from StarTouch and learn more about their services at startouch.com. Tell me that I'm not.
Oh,
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. And, you know, one of the things that I think when it comes to this sort of thing, I'm very passionate about it because I have a past that does not necessarily began as recreational, just to have a good time and fun. It turned into a spiral that right down into the depths of hell. And many people, and I'm not saying that that happens with everybody, but it happened with me. I listened to CJ give his story. He's very passionate about this sort of thing himself because he knows of what it has done in his life and what it would happen as a result of. But here's the deal. There's not a judgment nor condemnation here, okay? But we need to be very clear about something, is that we are a new creation in Christ each and every day.
Amen.
To be more, to be allowing him, God our Father, to change us, to chisel away those things that are not necessary in our life, okay? So that we can be used to benefit expanding his kingdom,
Amen.
Not my kingdom,
Amen.
Okay? So when it comes to this sort of thing, yes, have I been there and done that? Yes, I have. Would I do it again differently? No, probably not. You know, because I think everything that was necessary for me to experience was necessary for me to get where I'm at today, to realize that, you know, I'm done with that. Because I've had people ask me, you know, I've been clean and sober now for over 35 years, no drugs or alcohol. And I tell you what, I praise God, other than ibuprofen or something like that, or doing something, I've had heart surgery. I've had to take the medication for the pain but I did it with accountability and with people that knew what was going on. And I didn't even have to take all of that. Now, here's the deal. It's not about suffering. It's not about suffering for God, suffering for me. Look at me. I'm a martyr. No, it's not about that. It's about seeking to do what God's will is.
Amen.
You know what? He can do all things. There's nothing impossible for him to do. So when it comes to recreational drug use, well, you know what? It's no different than
just normal drug
anything
use.
Else. Yeah. No, but the fact is that is it necessary? Is it necessary for me to take that to be able to enjoy life, to enjoy a sunset? Do I really need
God.
To have a drink or two to enjoy it even more? Is it going to make the color even more vibrant? Is it going to make my company even more warming and inviting to me? Is it going to give me something that I'm not able to do without it? Okay.
So I guess we got to ask ourselves, why are we doing this? What it comes, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's, why,
I think,
why are we?
I think
doing
when it comes,
why
down
do we
to,
think we
exactly.
need to have this? Why?
Yeah. Yeah. And if it's just because you want to, and because everyone else is doing it, then so be it, I guess. But here's the fact: like anything else, I believe God answers prayers.
Amen.
And if you feel you need something like this, why don't you pray and ask the Holy Spirit if this is something you should be doing?
Amen.
Is it necessary? Okay.
Amen. And it doesn't just mean, Lord, what do you think? Amen. All right. He didn't answer
that.
But actually,
takes the time to listen.
You know, fast about it, you know, a little bit, have others pray. Actually spend, you know, a few days, if a few weeks if necessary, praying about it. I want to get this out.
Yes.
This is out of 1 Corinthians, and it's going to be chapter 6 and then chapter 3, and it deals with the Holy Spirit in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in the spirit which are God's. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are his. So,
yep.
That is a much more, I think we were making light of about that being in the New Testament during the break, but that hits a little bit more home when God says, I will destroy you if you defile your temple. And what that comes down to, I think, is when we decide to make ourselves a god of our own life, like, mm-hmm. I'm going to do this because it's not doesn't hinder my walk with God. I'm not going to go to hell because I do this. But what that is you're God of your own life, because you're making the choices. You're not seeking the Lord, see if it's beneficial in a sense. It's not helping your walk with him. You may not think it's hindering your walk with him, okay? But right here it says that anything that defiles it, okay? I mean, if you're in a temple, if you throw some mud on it, it's defiled because it's dirty. You may not have to take a chisel to it and break it down, but just a little bit of mud is defiling the temple. Right. And if we voluntarily do that, that's defiling our temple is what it comes down to. So when we voluntarily take our recreational drugs, or even a big one I want to, I think nowadays is the testosterone being from doctors, because I mean, after all my steroid use, my test was, I mean, ridiculously low. So I was on it to get it back up. My doctors prescribed. I'm not on it now, but it got back up. But the problem is I know so many men who do it, and you can get a lot. You can get it from your doctor, which is fine. But when you're 60 years old, you shouldn't have the testosterone in your body of an 18-year-old. There's a reason why God has diminished that. And it's so you're not lusting after every woman that walks by you. There's a reason for that. Okay. And and so when all of a sudden you start doing that, then all of a sudden all your prayers are consumed by lust. You're not able to focus. You're always asking people to help your lust, because that's all you keep doing, because you're doing what the doctors prescribed you. Yes. Does it give you more energy? Yes. Does it help? Yes, it does. But look at all the hindrance that it's bringing with it. It's like the thing, more money, more problems. It's kind of like that situation. So, yes, it is beneficial in a sense physically, you know, but it's not beneficial with your walk with God. And when we do anything, there's always consequences to whatever we do. They could be good consequences or bad consequences. And so we really need to ask God and not defile our temple with what we want to do.
And it's, you know, here's the thing. No matter how long you've been on this earth, there's always going to be peer pressure to a certain degree, okay? Whether it be just getting together with your buds and you're over at one of the guys' houses and you're watching whatever, a movie, and, you know, the beer comes out or whatever, and, you know. The fact is that I'm not here to try to tell you that you should not do things like that, but you leave it up to you, okay, and the Holy Spirit. Because truly, I mean, I'd like to think that the men that are listening to the show are men who are seeking to be more like Christ, because their lives have been a certain way, and they realize that, you know what, that's not the way I want to go down. I want a different path. So you've made a decision. You've made a chosen decision. That was very good, Raul. That to say, I want to follow the Lord. I want to be what he wants me to be. Okay? Does that mean that I only do it part-time? Does that mean I only give the Lord only 80% of me all the time, but 20% is mine? Or do I give him 90%?
No, 100%, 90% of the time, and then only 10%,
whatever. But the fact is that, no, he wants you to give it to him all the time.
Amen.
And it's throughout the Gospels and throughout the New Testament. And Peter talks about it in chapter 4. He says...
What verse?
This is chapter 4, starting at verse 7, okay? The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean so that be clear-minded and self-controlled just 98% of the time. The other 2%, I can be like this, and it's okay. You know, I've not seen percentages anywhere in the Bible. They might be there, but I have yet to come across any of those yet. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Now, I say that to love each other dearly. When you do the recreational drug, whatever that might be, alcohol or any whatever it might be, do you find yourself being able to justify talking about other people or situations that may not be conducive to the way that you like things? You feel a little more
loose.
I can talk with others who are in agreement with me on this. And you know, so it alters our mind. So anyway, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms.
Now, but then others would say, but Timothy was allowed to drink.
Oh, there's no, I didn't say there was anything
wrong.
No,
I know. Yes. I know.
And he also had an upset stomach,
yes,
and that's where Paul upsets they.
Or Paul, where was it we were talking about this morning about when I'm in Rome, I do as in Rome, or
yeah,
when I'm in
and First
with
Corinthians,
the weak,
he talks
I do
about,
with the weak. Or,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
whatever
so,
it is so that I can gain them for Jesus. Okay, whatever. It didn't mean that he got high with all the Gentiles or smoking opiates and everything else. No, it was about him saying, you know what? I am under the law of Jesus,
amen,
of Christ. Okay, not under the law of Moses or the land, but under Jesus. And that's the whole purpose, I believe, that he wants us to be able to take a little time out. Speaking of time out, we're going to take a break right now. Our last one for the show. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it. Because there is hope, and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
You restore my soul. Now I'm made new because of you.
Yeah, it's all natural, man.
All
that
natural
dance is all natural. I tell you what, that's the best way, because you can actually remember that until you start
amen
getting the ages,
amen,
of, anyway, I'll just rebuke the dementia and everything else that could take place. But anyway, hey, we probably have one listener here. I'm glad you're still with us. The rest of the guys said,
for the
forget
support
it, man. I don't want to listen
to
anymore.
He just listened
to
get our names and numbers, too.
Let us know that you're listening. Oh, my goodness. But in all seriousness, what it comes down to is that, you know, in this world, when we look at it, just like I had mentioned here before in
4:7,
the very first six words here are the end of all things is near. Okay? If you look at our world today, brother, there is so much fear in the world. People are worried about that they're going to be called and put down and on their knees and say, hey, are you a Christian? Do you want to renounce Jesus or not? You know, if you don't, I'm going to, you know, do this to you, or I'm going to do that to you or to your family. And so we're in fear all the time. The enemy is throwing fear everywhere. It has been highlighted. It has been increased. So as a result of that, we as men, as mighty warriors for Jesus, have to increase the things that we know that will benefit us and our families,
amen,
okay? And that's to be sober-minded, to be able to be aware of everything that's taking, everything around you, everything that's going on, so that you can protect, provide, teach, and love, and persevere, mm-hmm, okay?
Well, the thing is when it gets to the point where it is the end of days, I mean, we are in the end of days, when actually it comes down to it, and all of a sudden your faith is tested, your family's faith is, you are put on your knees, you're going to want the faith that is able to stand up against it, and you're not going to get that faith if you're justifying doing the drugs or the alcohol that you're doing. Believe it or not, everything that you do is either going to advance your walk or it's going to hinder your walk.
Yeah.
Everything that you do in life, and so it's got to.
Let's talk about this verse here in 1 Peter
5:8. I don't have it.
You don't have it.
I'm still in 1 Corinthians.
Sorry. Okay. 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Okay? So the key to this is be self-controlled and alert.
Amen.
You know, anything can happen at any given time, whether you're on something or not, okay? But the fact is that better that we can use what God has given us and not alter it at all.
Amen.
Okay? And be aware of everything. Not that we have to walk around like Chicken Little, the sky is falling. No. But we need to be protecting, providing, encouraging,
God has given
and,
us.
And directing, okay?
Amen.
So as mighty men of God, submitting to him, allowing his strength to come through us, through our weaknesses, it's okay to admit those things that we don't know,
Amen.
We don't have an answer, but we're going to trust in God, and then he will reveal more of who he is, not only to us, but through us. So the fact is that those are things that are necessary.
It is. And I think it more, I mean, just to add on that, is especially as men in the family, is your kids are going to grow up seeing what you're doing. And so if they see you justifying what you're doing, they're going to justify it. If they see you having a drink every night for dinner, yeah, you may not be that alcoholic dad that beats or does anything crazy or ridiculous, but if you just need a drink, your kids are going to do that, and they're going to grow up with that thinking it's okay. So we really do got to be vigilant and sober-minded and walk a straight path.
And you want to make a decision of whether you ought to do something or not, take it to the Lord.
Amen.
Take it to the
soberly.
Lord. Soberly.
Yeah. Not while you're in the recreational part.
He's not going to listen to it otherwise.
Amen.
I will say that.
Amen.
All right. How about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Father, I ask that you would let conviction hit where it needs to be convicted at today, not only in ourselves, but those listening, Lord, that you would allow us to see the sin in our lives so that we can honor you better, honor the temple that you have given us better, Father. So please bless and watch over the men out there. Lead them and guide them in the direction of more holiness with their walk with you and to lead their family, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.